The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna
shout! Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that was absolutely flabbergasted that Danny Crossman got fired this week. I'm your host, Nate, and this is our Locker Room Cleanout Edition podcast, where we will discuss the Bills' needs in the offseason, what's more important, offensive linemen versus offensive weapons like wide receivers and tight ends, the recent firings of assistant coaches, were they warranted, and is it weird rooting for people to lose their jobs, and a few other topics if we have time. But I'm joined by my co-host tonight, Mike. Mike, it's great to have you back from Florida. Welcome to the offseason.
Great to be here.
Good, man. Good to have you. Hey, so real quick, before we go into the question of the day, I have another quick question for you. Does it feel weird that Wild Card Weekend is all done and the Bills aren't in it this season? I mean, does it feel the same as it has the last 19 years besides last season? Or is it like, hey, I thought we should be in the mix this weekend?
It feels totally normal.
Yeah, it doesn't feel weird at all, right?
Not at all.
Isn't that sad? I mean, it was...
Last year feels surreal.
Yeah. I mean, it happened. It was just... It was just amazing, but we weren't thinking that this is definitely, especially the way the season panned out, I don't think any of us thought that a return was definitely going to happen. I don't think before the season we thought that a return was definitely going to happen, so we kind of lowered expectations. You
we're
know?
Not optimistic people by nature.
Well, we're all suffering from sad right now, right? So none of us can be optimistic now that Christmas is done and we all have seasonal affectiveness disorder. So, yeah.
It's a real thing.
You know, I was listening to local radio and they're kind of mentioning like, yeah, you know, I was kind of bummed this last weekend, you know, playoffs are coming, we're not in it. I'm like, I did not think at all that that was going to be a possibility the way that the offseason went, the way that the beginning of the season went. Not that we're not optimistic to where the future is, but I don't think anyone thought that this season was going to be the season that they repeated. But especially when it was a fluke last season, it was kind of like, you know, there were very long odds of the Bills actually making the playoffs last season. So... Anyway, now to the question of the day, for the podcast, which should be a higher priority for the Bills this offseason and what would lead to greater success for Josh Allen or any NFL quarterback in general? Now, I have two choices here. Do you have the offensive line or offensive weapons like wide receivers and tight ends? So basically, you know, what should the Bills make a higher priority this offseason in a vacuum where both things are completely equal? This doesn't take into account the fact that, like, they might think they want wide receivers, but really they can't get any and they have to settle for offensive linemen because, you know, nobody wants to come to Buffalo or whatever the case is, right? Or they price themselves out of the market or whatever. Like, all things being equal, what's more important for any NFL quarterback to succeed? Is it the offensive line, a good offensive line, or good offensive weapons? Mike, do you have an opinion about...
It's the offensive line, Nate.
Unequivocally, by far?
Absolutely.
That's kind of... That is exactly what I was thinking, because for me, it's like you could have a stud wide receiver like Julio Jones, right? But you can't pass to them if you're on your back all game, right? And you see all these teams that have good offensive lines. Like, look at Andrew Luck this season. He's doing great. They just made it to the second round of the playoffs, and he's only had 18 sacks this season. So that's a huge reason why they're doing the way they are. Whereas, like, if you don't have great, amazing wide receivers, like, not everyone has an Odell Beckham Jr. or an Antonio Brown, but if you have a good quarterback and a good offensive line, good quarterbacks can make, like, decent, mediocre wide receivers, like, good, right?
Absolutely. It seems like more and more in the NFL today, right, the skill players are plug and play.
Yeah. Yeah, look at the Patriots all these years. They've been amazing. They've been going to Super Bowls almost every other season. And do they have the most amazing wide receivers? They have no one.
Nothing.
They never have anyone. So, and just because you have, like, an amazing wide receiver, like a Julio Jones or AJ Green or whatever, it doesn't mean that you're going to make the playoffs with great weapons. You still need an offensive line to make sure that you don't get injured, like Andy Dalton got injured this season. You know, you need protection. So, I mean, in my opinion, I think that offensive line is more important. I think that you can succeed and achieve in this league without great weapons, but you can't without a good offensive line, or at least, you know, an adequate line. And I guess that kind of goes to Josh Allen. I think the Bills should spend most of their money and assets in free agency and the draft on offensive linemen to build a better team around him, just to get him to that next level. And he can make a better, like, look, he made, like, Robert Foster, you know, a really good weapon. The guy was an undrafted rookie. And how often do undrafted rookies really make a statement like that? It's possible he's just that talented, but really it's probably just Josh Allen.
Yeah, you know what? I'll definitively prove this to you. So in college, I tried the draft on Madden once with this guy I knew, right? One time, where you go through all the players, you throw them into a pool, and you draft your team.
Yeah.
And I was picking the greatest skill players available. And this guy thought he was so smart, and he picked offensive linemen. And I'm like, huh? Like, I'm going to destroy you. I have Randy Moss. I have, you know, whatever. All, yeah. The best running back. All the best wide receivers.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Right. And he had the five best offensive linemen. And I had garbage offensive linemen. I just figured I'd drop back and throw it to Randy Moss for touchdown every time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got destroyed. Yeah, completely destroyed. It was a very humbling experience.
You probably had no time to actually pass the ball to Randy Moss, right?
Could do nothing. You couldn't run.
Yeah.
You couldn't pass. It all came down to the offensive line.
Wow. That's a good analogy. It's just, if it's true in Madden, it's got, so like, so you had all skilled players, like even quarterback, probably like 99 or 98, right?
Yeah,
offensive linemen were probably what? 70s?
60s?
60s.
Well, keep in mind, it wasn't just the two of us drafting a team. It would simulate all the other teams, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I don't know who the number one quarterback back then, right? But if I grabbed him, then there's 20, you know. Still with me?
Yeah, I got you. Gotcha.
Sorry.
No, that's, yeah, absolutely true. Good, because I kind of agree.
So it wasn't just me and him going, I pick you. No, yeah. It's like there's all the teams in the NFL. Comes back around to me. I pick a quarterback, a wide receiver, a running back, wide receiver, tight end, right? He goes, offensive line. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Got destroyed. Yeah.
So we put this this exact question on Twitter and ran a poll. If you're not following us on Twitter, you should. It's at CTW Pod, Circling the Wagons Podcast, Circling the Wagons Pod. And I asked which should be a higher priority this season. And I said either O-line or weapons being wide receivers and tight ends, like I mentioned earlier. It was 74% in favor of offensive line and only 26% on offensive weapons out of 650 votes. So, Mike, you and I are in the majority, I think, of all fans. So some of the responses there.
Like, a lot of the time it's dangerous to be in the majority, right? Like, we typically lean contrarian a little bit.
Yeah.
The crowd all thinks one way. Maybe that's not the right position. But this time it absolutely is. We're correct.
We're correct. John Figueres mentions Zay Foster and McKenzie could be upgraded, but they had decent, they played decent down the stretch. Offensive line absolutely needs to be upgraded. We had no run game. As they say, a run game is a QB's best friend, and that's a great point, I think. The Bills, you can't run the ball. See, so even if you have great weapons, I mean, what good does that do if you can't run the ball to just offset the passing game? That's something the Bills really lacked. And we're going to talk about that later when we talk about firings from this past week. Offensive Alphabet Soup writes, offensive line will give time for his receivers to get separation, and then he will be able to lob them bombs. Dave L writes, I don't disagree, but I think if we had wide receivers that could get separation sooner, Josh has enough mobility to buy time. It's a hard question, but there's five offensive linemen, lots of holes to fill. Just one or two excellent receivers can make a difference. So he did kind of agree in the end. You know, a couple of weapons is really all you need. Ian Carmody wrote, offensive line, pass protection first, run blocking second, separation by wide receivers and tight ends second. And then Jason Statham wrote, which I actually stole his answer earlier, if you heard me. He said, you only have to watch the guys the Colts drafted in to see how important an O-line is. Nelson has been awesome. Quentin Nelson, he's talking about the Colts guard, has been awesome, and Luck has only been sacked 18 times all season. So that's why I mentioned. Mike, did I mention Jason Statham is a listener to our podcast?
The action star?
Yeah, the action. No. His name is Jason Statham. It's funny. If you click on his Twitter profile, it says, I have a famous name, but not the lifestyle. I'm just an average Joe. But that's funny. Yeah, his name is Jason Statham. It's kind of like a... what was it in Office Space? Michael Bolton?
It is better than Michael Bolton.
It is better than Michael Bolton. At least he could, yeah. Jason Statham's a pretty freaking badass dude, so it's better than that, for sure.
But with Jason, you can't really shorten it to anything. Like, if you wanted to. Not that you would, but if you wanted to, right? Like, Michael Bolton, you could be Mike Bolton, and people wouldn't even make the connection, probably.
Well, he could go Jay.
But Jay is like an actual name.
Yeah, true.
Like J-A-Y.
Yeah, true, it is. It is. Well, that's how his Twitter handle is, J-S-E Statham. So that's why maybe he goes by J. Yeah, we'll see. Kind of crazy, though.
Hopefully nobody with our names becomes famous.
Or at least if they become famous, they're as awesome as Jason Statham. You know, it's not like the Nickelback of, you know, whatever's going around now. So Jeffrey Wadey writes, the offensive line needs less work than the receiving core. Allen had some of the most time to throw of anyone in the league. They really need an effective tight end and a slot guy. So that's an interesting thought. I disagree, but I can see where he's coming from. Bills definitely need weapons. They need both. It's just the way it is. So that's all I wanted to talk about. It was a question of the day. It's something I've been going back and forth in my head about. I just wanted your opinion on this. And just kind of talk it out over Twitter. And I think I'm still going to stick with offensive line, but there are definitely some points for wide receivers. I think they should attack both, obviously. It's not just one or the other, but let's see what they go. Let's see what happens. If you guys want to learn more about potential prospects at the wide receiver and tight end position, please search for our bi-week podcast this last season, where I talked to Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports about potential Bills prospects in the first and second rounds. He went over defensive, offensive linemen, wide receivers, just really great conversation. He mentioned so many names, I'm actually going to have to listen to it again myself, even though I actually did the interview. So real quick, usually John does this. John wasn't able to make the podcast tonight, but we're going to do a quick segment for the offseason called This Week in Bills History.
This Week in Bills History.
So this week in Bills history, it is the 26th anniversary of the Bills comeback game. Where the Bills...
That little graphic sounded a lot like you, Nate.
What?
I guess it's not a graphic. Soundbite.
Oh, you mean the This Week in Bills History?
Yeah.
No, that's funny. Funny you mentioned that. It definitely had a British accent. So it's funny that you would think it sounds like me, but
I didn't hear the British accent.
Well, maybe we're listening enough because it was absolutely authentic and definitely not contrived or anything like that. So, but we'll take note and maybe I'll have our sound guy do another one with a better British accent. the Bills comeback game. Obviously everyone knows about that. Kind of crazy. It was 26 years ago, but yeah. So as far as news goes, the Bills sign wide receiver Dekeel Duke Williams from the Edmonton Eskimos of the Canadian Football League. He's a 6'3", 225-pound receiver that led the CFL last season in receiving with 1,500 yards, was tied for the most receiving touchdowns in the league with 11. He's 25 years old. He's a product of Auburn University, was signed to a reserves futures contract. So we'll see what happens, if anything, for him. But it's a great sign, if anything else, or if nothing else, of Brandon Bean trying to get Josh Allen all the support he can in this upcoming offseason. He's leaving no stone unturned, apparently, even if it's north of the border. So that's pretty cool. They re-signed backup quarterbacks Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley this week. It's just kind of a interesting thing. It's good, obviously, because it sounds like Bean is very much into keeping stability around Josh Allen, or finding out exactly what works for him, and keeping those players and those people around him. He obviously didn't think Kelvin Benjamin was doing that for Josh Allen, so he didn't keep him. And yeah, I don't know. That's pretty good. I like Matt Barkley as a backup quarterback. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, it's good to see stability at the position for sure.
So now we go into the Bills firing their assistant coaches. So we'll go first. Wide receiver coach Terry Robiskie was fired this last week. Just to give you an idea, so him and the offensive line coach Juan Castillo were fired this past week, and a lot of people were talking about how it kind of seems unfair that they would fire the wide receivers and offensive line coach because they had so little talent on either side of that. Plus, they dedicated the least amount of money to both positions in the league. So one thing I will say, so I did a little bit of stats research, and the Bills' receiving yardage this past season was ranked 31st in the NFL, 2,794 yards, right? So terrible, second worst in the league, but the Bills ranked 29th in the league in yards by wide receivers specifically, not including tight ends or running backs. So that's kind of an important distinction. So they ranked 29th in the league by in yards by wide receivers, and they ranked 31st in the league in receptions by wide receivers. So the offensive line coach, as far as Juan Castillo goes, the Bills ranked 21st in yards per carry in 2018 at 4.2 yards per carry, which you're thinking, oh, that's not terrible, right? I mean, it's better than I thought it was. Well, I did a little bit of research into this, and the Bills actually ranked second in the league in quarterback rushing yards with 677 on 103 attempts. And actually, Allen had 7.1 yards per carry, right? So that's a pretty high number. So if you look at that number, I was like, well, if his number is 7.1 yards per carry and their overall is 4.2 yards per carry, what is the actual running back number, right, for how the Bills did successfully in the run game? Well, the Bills would have had 3.6 yards per carry and rank 32nd in the league at that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Even
brutal.
Yeah. Even below Arizona at 3.8 yards per carry. Now, I was like, well, you know, if I do it that way, I kind of take away all quarterback rushing, right? So Josh Allen, we know, is a good running quarterback. Well, let's see what would have happened if I gave them like an average quarterback, right? An average quarterback with the average amount of carries and the average amount of yardage, right? And if I did the same thing and I gave that team that much, it went from 3.6 yards per carry to 3.7 yards per carry as a team. Mm. So still worst in the league, still not good, and that would kind of explain why Juan Castillo was probably let go. Now, they did have a lot less talent in offensive line, but even last season with Incognito and Wood, it was still a step back from even when the Rex Ryan regime, as sad as that sins. Anthony Lynn, when he was the offensive coordinator. So I think that's the main reason why those guys got fired. Special teams coach Danny Crossman, who has been on the wall of shame for what, like at least 4 or 5 weeks this season for us. He was let go this last season as a surprise to pretty much no one, really. Anyone that watches Bills games just saw a lot of ineptitude on that side of the ball. And I think it's safe to say that botched fake field goal attempts, blocked kicks, missed field goals, and muffed punts won't be a weekly occurrence on game day. So I have a question for you, Mike. So this is something that I kind of deal with, you know, personally, and I know that we all wanted Danny Crossman fired, right? But do you ever find it weird that we root for coaches to get fired as fans? I mean, that's kind of weird, right? Like, that would never happen in any other walk of life, right? I mean, these guys have families. They'll have to move now to a new job. It'll probably be a demotion or whatever. But just weird to, like, because I wanted Crossman fired. And now that he is fired, I'm kind of like, oh, I kind of feel bad for the guy. You know, he's been here for like 6 or 7 years. He probably has a family and a house here. He bought a house. It's not like he's just been living here in the off season, probably. I don't know. What do you think? Do you ever run into that as a fan, like when it comes to people getting let go or anything?
It's hard to separate out the business side from the human side of it, for sure, because you hate to see something bad happen to anybody. But at the same time, I mean, if you're McDermott, right, you need to see improvement or you yourself are going to be gone.
Yeah.
It's like you get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not easy.
Yeah, not easy. I mean, you really can't have guys that aren't producing, you know, on the field, because odds are it's not going to get better. You know, I mean, how many times have coaches been given like 5th or 6th years, like Jeff Fisher? Like, he kept getting contract after contract. He never actually improved the Rams team. And then as soon as he leaves, like, they're like 13-3, you know? So yeah, I guess I definitely wanted Crossman fired, but it's just weird. It's just weird that it actually happened. It's like, man, did I wish for another guy's livelihood to actually, I don't know, not trying to bring the podcast down or anything, but you really just can't keep guys like that. And it is different than, like, cause we think like in terms of our jobs, right? We just have normal jobs, and like, you would never root for something like that to happen to a fellow employee or something necessarily, unless they're a complete, you know, idiot and they just make the team worse. But very rarely do you ever hope that or wish that on someone else. It's kind of weird. So do we have any, like, so I was thinking now is the time, since there's been firings and some letting goes and they're going to have to interview some people for these vacancies, do we have any interview stories on the podcast that we would like to share from, like, just personal experience, just like kind of off the board, just something? Everyone has interview stories, and I know I have a few that I can share. Mike, do you have any stories that you want to add? You want me to go first? I can go first.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'll do one. An internship that I was interviewing for while I was going to college was at some place in Buffalo. It was a recycling plant, I think. And this was my first ever interview, I think, ever. And they were asking me, you know, what I thought of, you know, I was trying so hard. You ever try, like, mm-hmm. overly hard to, like, try to get someone to like you or to interview well, and then you come off like as an idiot? So, like, they would show, so this specifically was a paper recycling plant, and they were showing, like, after they shred the paper and they make it into, like, this paper mache or whatever, and this big, like, drum, like this, you know, 800 gallon drum, right? And this machine kind of, like, twirls it around, spins it around, and mixes it. This guy's like, yeah, you know, this is where, you know, the paper gets, you know, shredded and mixed together with water to make a compound or whatever. Don't I stick my hand within the drum and just pick some out? Just like, hey, oh, yeah, I could see the consistency of whatever. Just like a complete moron, right? Looking back at it, it was so dumb. And then after the interview,
did that shut the plant down?
The guy didn't look at me like, oh, that's cool you did that. He kind of looked at me like, I don't think you should be doing that. But he didn't say anything about it. No, nothing was shut down. No limbs were removed or anything. But yeah, looking back at it, it's pretty dumb. Never stick your hand in a piece of manufacturing.
Industrial machinery. Wow.
But that was the same interview where I learned a very important lesson, because at the end of the interview, he's like, so what do you see with your career, you know, after you're done with college and all this stuff? I was like, oh, you know, I really thought it'd be cool to work on, like, robots and stuff, or, like, you know, this different type of technology. Basically, that has...
You told the truth?
I told the truth.
Oh.
You can't do that in an interview, right?
No. Unbelievable.
That's exactly what I did. So I told him what I was really interested in, as if he gave a shit, right?
It was just the rubber stamp at the end.
It was just the rubber stamp at the end, yeah. First of all, I'm a risk to safety within the company and the manufacturing floor. And then I don't even want to do recycling. But I mean, honestly, can we look at each other and said, whose dream is it to work for a recycling plant after college? Man, I was really hoping I'd work for a paper recycling plant. You know, it's just kind of funny. Like, I would do it. Like, there's nothing, there's no shame in working there, but it's no one's dream. Like, where do we ever get to work as our dream job? You know, it's just the way life goes. So what about you, Mike? Do you have any stories about interviews or anything?
That reminds me. Yeah. So early on, I interviewed at Paychex.
Yeah.
Tom Golisano's own Rochester company. Oh, it was amazing. It was like one of my first interviews too, right? So when you come in, they give you like a math test, and I hadn't looked at like long division since fourth grade. So that was surprising that I got through it somehow. And then the interview was okay until like a bang, bang. Like I had all the things memorized, right? Like, oh, when were you a leader? Oh, what are you? When were you this? When are you this? And I was such an idiot because I hadn't heard or hadn't practiced the weaknesses one before. So a go-to weakness is like, oh, I don't speak in a second language. I think that's good because a lot of people in America don't speak second languages. Or even if you took them in college, yeah, you don't remember them.
No.
So the person can't really throw stones at you because they're not better than you. Yeah,
typically.
You're like, oh, I wish I knew a second language. I'd be a better, you know, bilingual. So I got him on that. I'm like, oh, I'm not bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And then the other one, the other standard one is like, oh, you know, sometimes I had a propensity to take on too much.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I was too good, basically. But I learned to
manage my time.
College taught me to prioritize, get everything done, you know. Oh, okay, good one. Good
That's the one. Yeah, my biggest weakness is that I'm a workaholic. I just care too much. I try too hard. I put the company before my own needs.
I'm a yes man through and through. And then question, because I hadn't practiced this before, how, I don't know. No parents told me, no mentor. Like, I didn't really have a mentor. But nobody prepared me for the three weakness question that everyone does. So the third question, I was proud of myself for coming up with answers for the first two, but the third one has kind of stumped me. And then I guess I made the same mistake you did. I was honest. I had a flash of honesty. And I was like, well, I don't really like change. Like, when I learn a process, I like to just know it. And I don't like it if it changes. And of course, paychecks, like the tax laws, every year is changing. The tax form every year is changing, quarterly probably. So I could see everybody's face on the interview panel. It just fell. And it was over at that point.
Never got a call.
Letter. Nothing.
You can't handle change. That's a good one. You know, I learned that from you, actually, to not say that. You're like a dog, man. Dogs hate change. You hate change.
Routine. Drive with predictable routine.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Can I tell you one more story about an interview? My first job out of college that I interviewed with, I actually got the job, but I'm wondering if it's because of this interview and they were worried about me filing a lawsuit after this interview that they gave me the job just to keep me quiet. So this was my first job out of college. And at the interview, the guy's like, you know, the engineering manager at the place was like, oh, you know, let's go out. Let's do a lunch interview. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, I've only done a few interviews, obviously not very well, compared to the story that I just told you about the recycling plant. So this is my, like, I don't know, second or third interview, who knows. So he's like, oh, let's do a lunch interview. So he goes to, you know, they take the order at lunch. Waiter comes over and is like, what can I, you know, get for you? And he's like, oh, you know, they have an amazing seafood bisque. He's like, you got to get it. So get us two bowls. So he basically ordered for me, which is kind of rude, right?
Very forward.
Very forward.
A work lunch?
An interview lunch, no less, right?
Yeah. It's not even like an appetizer that you're going to share that he could eat all if he wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have to eat this, right?
Yeah.
It's not like breadsticks where he can have five and I have one, right?
Right.
So the thing at the time is I hated seafood, like, with a passion. Like, I ate no seafood, no shrimp, no fish, nothing. And this guy orders a seafood bisque for me. So what do I do, right? What would you do in that situation?
I guess I'd eat it.
Choke it down, right? That's what I did. I ate it. Like, I, like, pretended like I didn't hate it completely. So I ate it, this and that. So this is kind of weird too, but I'm going to share it. Is he's like, so, you
did
know.
Did you throw up?
No. I was okay. Oh. No, this. Yeah. I did have this thing, though, which I will never be able to do another interview again without thinking this, as I thought in my head, I psyched myself out, and I'm like, hey, what if while I was eating right now, I like started to cough and I spit right in his face, like where you go, you know, just, it's like all over his face right now. I would definitely not get the job. So now I can't not think of that every time I'm doing that. But or every time I'm like, sometimes I just have that while I'm having lunch with someone. But anyway, I'm at the interview and the guy's asking the most unconventional questions. And since I haven't done a whole lot of interviews, I thought they were normal. Needless to say, I've never been asked these questions before in my entire life. Guy's asking, you know, as far as, like, he's like, oh, what do you like to do with your free time? I'm like, oh, you know, I like to do, you know, hang out with friends, you know, whatever. The dumb responses.
Generic, yeah.
Generic. He's like, well, what about your girlfriend? Which was a very weird question, right? And I'm like, well, I'm not really seeing anyone at the moment. He's like, oh, but you like girls, don't you? Like, wow. Like our society has changed a lot since then. But could you imagine him asking that question then or now? I mean, even then at the time, like my sister's like, you have to say something to like HR. And I'm like, no, I want this job. I'm not going to say anything. Are you crazy? Like, I want to have a job. So I think that's more important. So part of me thinks that the reason I got that job is because a guy asked that question and they were probably worried about me filing a lawsuit. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy. He asked me about that. So, yeah. What about, do you have any jobs about getting like, so we talked about Bill's assistant coaches getting fired or let go. Do you have any job, any stories about getting let go from anywhere or fired? What about like quitting or? Yeah. Yeah. Or what about just like jobs that you didn't like?
Why don't you tell that story?
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. We both have. So Mike and I know each other. We're friends from high school. And one of our jobs during college in the summer was working at this meat wholesaler. You want to just say that it was like a meat refrigeration plant, basically. And
I would say freezer, because refrigeration doesn't make it sound as utterly terrible as it was.
Exactly. It was awful. It was
deep freezer.
Yeah, exactly. So in the summer, imagine it being 70 degrees at night. Well, yeah, we also had the C shift, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were like no jobs that summer for anyone, like anywhere. And we worked the C shift at this meat wholesaler, and they're like, it was like $10 an hour or something like that, which was amazing at that point, because like minimum wage was like $6. So it was awesome. And you know, it was like 12-hour shifts, I want to say, something ridiculous. And the whole time you're just lifting these like 80-pound boxes over your head and like using
the meat juice is dripping on you. Going down your shirt and then freezing.
Oh, freezing, yep, getting all over your hands and your gloves, your winter gloves that you have to wear in the middle of summer because it's so cold in there. Remember
that? Yeah, going to work, you're sweating. And then you go into a deep freezer.
Yeah, you're wearing, it's so weird to be in July and then wearing thermals to work. You know, Under Armour didn't exist back then, but and then they had that one section in the back, Mike, do you remember? It was like deep. It was like deep. Negative like 30 degrees there. And not only that, they gave us like forklifts, like as if we knew how to use forklifts ever before.
No training.
Why would they train us for that, right? So needless,
this 2-ton machine you're wheeling around in these little just corridors.
Yeah, it goes like 20 miles an hour. It's just around blind corners. Yeah. So needless to say, we didn't last there long. Of our own,
like every if you, on your one break you go outside, you're just, your whole body tingles. You know, you can't feel anything, just tingles.
You're tired.
And as soon as the feeling returns, like it's time to go back into the deep freezer.
Yeah, what a miserable job that was. It definitely.
But at the onset, we thought it'd be amazing because you work like 4 days on, 3 days off.
Yeah.
Right? We'd be like, oh, we have three days off in a row? Amazing.
That sounds awesome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't realize like you'd be sleeping those entire 3 days.
Yeah. So during a summer day, you sleep till like 3 p.m. and be like, oh, yeah, I got to go to work another 2 hours. Because I just worked a 12-hour shift. I got to... Oh, man. I remember, you quit like that day because I didn't go in that one day. I was sick.
That is not true. You quit.
No, I was sick that day. I couldn't go in. No, I quit.
Not what the foreman said.
I quit 2 days after. So you went in. So you actually had a sit down conversation with the guy and quit. in person, like after a week and a half. What did we last, a week and a half?
I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah. Oh, you are supposed to do that in real life. Well, I didn't because I wasn't going to come in again. And I wasn't going to do another shift of that shitty work. So by the way, I'm not against blue collar work. I want to point that out because I work construction after this. We both work construction after this job.
It's a thousand times better.
It's a thousand times. You're treated, oh my God. Yeah. No contest between. Yeah. Anyway, so I actually called the guy that hired us, like, what was it, like a day after you quit? And you're like, yeah. I was like, did he give you anything? Did he make you do your 2 weeks? And you're like, no. He's just like, okay.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And so when I called the guy that hired us for Empire or for the meat wholesaler, they're out of business now. It doesn't matter. So the meat wholesaler, and he's like, you're just gonna quit? You're not gonna give me 2 weeks?
Guy, it's day two and a half.
My 2 weeks would be like five times longer than I've worked there. Oh, ridiculous. So funny. Do you want to share this story too about the workers there? The workers there were actually pretty cool. They're nice guys for the most part, but it's a tough job, man. Like it was brutal. But remember what the,
I mean, they were all right, but you could tell like some of them would just as soon lock in the deep freezer and
yeah,
that'd be it. You'd be done.
Yeah. Probably a few ex-convicts in there.
Oh yeah. So they were building out the warehouse. The part we were in was whatever, negative 10.
Yeah. It was just shelves of meat in the areas.
Just shelves piled the ceiling of
any type of meat.
Juicy meat. Yeah. But then this other part of the warehouse they were building was supposedly state of the art with all conveyor belts, like automation. I mean, Amazon takes it to a new level, but at that time that would have been like state of the art, right? Conveyor belts all over the place. Like, oh, an order comes in, it's going to be dropped under the conveyor belt, out to the pallet to the truck. Boom.
Yeah. Right next to
all those,
right next to the loading docks,
not touched by human hands. Mm-hmm. But when we're getting the tour by the fellow workers, everyone was so excited. Like, oh, look at this paradise. Things are going to be so great when they flip the switch.
Yeah.
And the conveyor belts, and our job's going to be so much easier.
Yeah.
But it's all run by robots. Like, right. We're looking at each other like
right now. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's it. Right now you guys are doing the jobs of what that conveyor belt is going to do.
So, and you're cheering its completion daily
as if they were going to like retire, like this, they're still going to make the same amount of money
without having to do anything.
Yeah, as if that was like, yeah, it's like, no, like, you know how like we run around this entire like 10 million feet, you know, 10 million square foot warehouse and grab all these boxes manually? Like, that whole thing is supposed to stop,
replace it
completely. So they were thinking like, hey, I'm just going to stay at the end of this conveyor belt and just load it on the truck right here and then literally go 10 feet to the truck. So we found out later on, right, that they ended up like cutting their staff.
And, like, wow, from half. 300 to 18.
It's kind of sad, actually. But yeah, they were thinking it was going to be easier. Always be careful. In any of our jobs, if there's something that can make it easier, always be careful that it's going to take your job. So, should I tell the McDonald's story, or do you want to just end it? Okay, we'll end it on the McDonald's story because the people that don't care have definitely stopped listening by now, since we're not talking Bill's stuff. So my first job ever in high school was McDonald's. I could walk to it. It was super close. I didn't have a car at the time, so it was easier to just get there, right? And after like a year, like, your first job was at the Holiday Inn, right? You were doing banquet serving. So you and another friend were like, hey.
I thought we were keeping this kind of anonymous, man.
Jeez. Oh, okay.
Well, you want to throw out my SSN next?
yeah. So it was, yeah, we were working. So I said I worked at McDonald's, whatever. It's okay. So we worked at a major hotel company. <Thank you. laughs> That rhymes with
Maliday
Blinn. And So you were there. You're like, man, it's the best. Like, the pay's good. You know, you don't have to, you know, you just work at night on the weekends. It's great. You know, you make this money. And I'm like, dude, I got it. So I was leaving McDonald's. I'm like, I don't leave this. You guys got me a job over there. And the lady who was a manager there was like, don't quit completely. Just say you're taking a leave of absence for school or whatever. And so I'm like,
wait, the manager at McDonald's?
Yeah, the manager at McDonald's was just like, okay, just keep the door open because just in case you want to come back, you know.
Yeah, she liked you. You were the best worker she had.
Probably. I don't know. That wasn't saying much at McDonald's, though.
Dude, you would go in early on the weekends to open. You would close on school nights.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they want from you?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's like $6.50 an hour at the time. Man, that's crazy. Yeah, you're probably right. But she was just like, yeah, just, you know, keep the door open. And, you know, that way you could always get a job back there. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a leave of absence. They're like, oh, okay, well, hopefully you can come back sometime. I'm like, all right. So needless to say, I did come back. But while I was working at the Holiday Inn or the Blaladay Min, whatever we said. So you and our friend are like, hey, let's, on the way to work, the way to the banquet serving, we're like, oh, let's stop at McDonald's. I'm like, okay, sure. I know the people there. I've only stopped working there like 2 weeks ago. So needless to say, the owner was there, the meat lead manager. And so us, we're dressed in our our vest, our dress pants. Like, it looks like
your uniform,
the uniform for being a banquet server. And and the owner's like, hey, Nate, how's it going? Like, good, John. How you doing? He's like, good. What, are you guys going to a wedding or something? Like, no, John, I'm going to my other job.
Look at my name tag. Look at my name tag.
It says Nate. So I kid you not, I don't know if you remember this. I remember this distinctly. John looked at me, his face kind of went stone, like it just walked into the back area. No joke. Just walked into the back area from working in the front. He was like taking orders or whatever. He walked into the back area of McDonald's. No joke. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of weird. Like, me being a stupid high schooler, not reading the situation or really understanding, like, oh, that's kind of weird. So then the manager comes out after the owner went in the back. The manager comes out and is like, hey, Nate, like, while we're waiting on our order, right? It took forever. It's like, hey, Nate, you know, it would have been really nice if you had just been honest with us. This other manager, not the one that told me to lie. This other manager, I've been really nice, you know. And I'm just like, what am I doing here? I'm just here to get a burger. I'm getting lectured about working for minimum wage. Like, just funny. Anyways, I learned a lesson that day looking back.
Well, you could have gone back in despite them. Ask them when they're putting you on the... Surprised you didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I think I pretty much burned my bridges with that McDonald's. I don't think they would have taken me back after that. The owner walked in
like
the back.
Jobs aren't mutually exclusive, you know? Like,
I know, right? I was in high school too. Think about it. Like, what loyalty do you have to, well, I gotta work there for the next 30 years. It's not like this is like the 40s, you know. But yeah.
They abused you there.
They
too.
Did. They did.
They rode you hard and put you away wet every night.
There was a guy that literally got out of prison and worked there with me, and I thought he was going to kill me one night. He literally said...
Over that girl.
Yeah. Well, no, that was something else. Oh, yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, maybe it ended up being as a result. But, like, it had nothing to do with me doing... Yeah, anyway. So that's another story for another day. Maybe if some Bills members become convicts, we can break that story out. But yeah, so great to talk with you, Mike. Some off-season stuff, some hiring, some firings, or not really any hirings, but some stuff like that. So signing off, we'll talk to you guys again soon. So for Mike.
Go Bills. And we still say that?
Yeah, we still, yeah, it's off-season. Okay. We still want the team to do well. So go Bills. Okay. And for me, Nate, go Bills. Hopefully you guys learned some interviewing information from us or some lessons that you've learned. And yeah, so we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @ctwpod. And most importantly, Go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.